Good morning, church, and welcome to our service this morning, and welcome to our first message in our series, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This is a series I'm really excited about because I think if people do this course, if they listen, if they get involved in this, it could really be life-changing for a lot of people. I want to just recommend right up front that you get the book and you read the book. There is going to be so much extra information in the book that you're not going to get in our sermons on a Sunday, so I really recommend that. Some of our small groups are going to be running the course, and there is also a workbook that goes along with it. So read the book, get the workbook. If you're not going to get involved in a small group, then watch the YouTube small group material that is available so that you can get the most out of this series. So emotionally healthy spirituality, what is this all about? Well, there's a sort of a major premise that goes along with the series, and it's this: that it is impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. The idea is that God has got a life for us that is awesome. He wants us to be the best version of ourselves, the version He created us to be. But we, like an iceberg, tend to operate in the areas above the waterline, in the areas that people see, and never looking at the deeper areas of our life to sort them out and to deal with them. God created us in His image. And when He created us intellectually, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We're not one element. We are all of these things, and we are a whole being. And God has called us to love Him as this whole being. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with everything that you are. Now, in the Bible, the heart represents our emotions. We're called to love God with all of our heart, and we're to give the very best version of ourselves to God. Jesus goes on, He carries on, He says the first greatest commandment is this, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He says that the whole word of God, the law of God, can be summed up in love God and love people. Here's the thing, in order for us to love God well and to love people well, we need to have healthy hearts. We need to be emotionally healthy in order that we can be spiritually healthy, growing and becoming more like Jesus and loving the people around us. If we're not emotionally healthy, we cannot achieve this. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 10, verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and life to the full. God wants the very best for us. He has got an amazing life for us. But so often we don't get to the life and to the life in the full because we're not growing spiritually. We're not growing closer to God. And really also because we are not emotionally healthy. We're broken. We're hurt. And so when we look at life, we don't see this amazing life that God has in store for us. Another verse, Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an amazing verse. And that verse is saying to us that God has got a life plan for us. The yoke was the wooden part that went on to the two oxen. It was designed for those two oxen, and so specifically, so it fitted them perfectly, so they could go together, so it wouldn't chafe and it wouldn't hurt. Peter Cesare, in his book, speaking about this verse, says that God has a life plan for us, designed specifically for us. That's why he says to us, come to me, because my burden is light. The life I have designed for you is light and it's good. I read these verses and I go, this is what I want. But in order to do that, I need to deal with the iceberg. And the iceberg is something we're going to look at throughout this course, that most of us will come to Jesus and we're born again. The old is gone, the new has come, and we begin to live in freedom, and we begin to live wanting and desiring to be close to God. But often we deal with the area above the waterline, the bits that people can see. We change our behaviors and our actions and our lifestyle according to what people can see, according to really what we're aware of. But there is so much more to us. An iceberg, 90% of it sits below the waterline. And we need to look at those deep areas of our life if we're going to truly transform and truly be changed. I want to show you this next diagram, and it kind of sums up some of what we've already been talking about. Loving God well, loving others well, and loving yourself well. Now, when I hear loving yourself well, I must admit that normally I kind of go, oh, don't know if I like that very much. And the reason I don't like that very much is because it's become trendy. It's been used by people sometimes for self-absorption, for just looking at oneself and not looking at other people. And so when I've heard it used like that, I kind of go, I don't know if I want to be involved in that. But here's the reality. If I don't look after myself physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, if I don't work on my iceberg and work on the deep issues within me so that I can become a spiritually mature person, I am not going to be able to love God well. And I'm certainly not going to be able to love those around me well. I need to look at the hurts and the pains and the things that trouble me, and I need to work on them and bring them to Jesus and ask him to work on them. Ask him to deal with my iceberg. Ask him to deal with all the things in my life that maybe I don't want to think about. Why? So that I can love him well and so that I can love those around me well. In the middle of this diagram is a cross, and in it is two things, the two axes on which spiritual transformation hinges, according to this course, and it's this: emotional health and contemplative spirituality. Let's look at that one first. Contemplation is loving union with God. For those of you who did the prayer course, you may remember the section on contemplative prayer. There's a section talking about listening to God, being with God. There's different definitions for it, and one of the really ones I love is that to gaze upon God. Contemplation is to gaze upon God. It's seeing God in all our life. It's taking the time to be with God and not just do for God. Taking the time to love him, be close to him, allowing him in to get, not just to get to know us because he does know us, but allowing him in to transform and to change us. So in order for us to become spiritually healthy, contemplation and contemplative spirituality is incredibly important. And then the next is emotional health. On the other hand, it concerns itself primarily with loving others. It connects us to our interior life. Remember the iceberg, making possible the seeing and treating of each individual as worthy of respect, created in the image of God and not as an object to use. It's quite a statement. And as I read it, I thought about all the things that have been going on in the world over the last few weeks. And I thought to myself, imagine if people in the world were emotionally healthy, then the virus of racism would be no more. Because then we would be seeing and treating each individual as worthy of respect, created in the image of God. That inspires me to improve my emotional health, to be somebody who loves people and sees people and doesn't see them as somebody to be used for my gain or to achieve some sort of success for me. Now, we're going to look at 10 factors, 10 indicators that we're emotionally unhealthy, that we need help. And as I run through these and explain these to you, I want you just to pray and ask God to point out to you areas in your iceberg that maybe need to be dealt with. Between the ages of 20 and 30, it was a really difficult decade for me. It was a decade where God took me on a journey to deal with the first 20 years of my life. And that's not to say that my journey is ended, because it isn't. But in those 10 years, he dealt with some of the really big incidences in my life that had hurt me, that had put huge cracks and huge deep hurts under the surface. And he helped me to deal with those things. When I got married at 32, I was so grateful for those 10 years, 12 years, because I realized that if God hadn't taken me through that decade of dealing with and coming to terms with some of the things that had taken place in my life, some of the points that we're going to touch on right now, I would not have been able to go into my marriage emotionally healthy, and my marriage would have been hard and difficult. Instead, it's been wonderful and amazing because of the journey that God took me on to deal with my iceberg. God is still dealing with my iceberg. He's pointing out areas of my life that need work, that need help, so that I can love him well, so that I can love those around me well. And so I encourage you right now, as we go through these 10 points, to listen, not to me, but to God, and that he would speak to you. So our first point, indicator of emotional unhealth, is using God to run from God. What does that mean? It means that when we use Christian activity to run from pain, when we do God's work to satisfy ourselves and not God, when we pray for our agenda and not God's will, when we do things in God's name that he never asked us to do. On the surface, it looks like what we're doing is great and awesome, but if we get down to the motivation, it's a problem. So the first indicator of emotional unhealth, spiritual unhealth, is using God to run from God. The second one is ignoring the emotions of anger, sadness, and fear. Now, the Bible tells us not to sin in our anger. The Bible tells us, fear not, for I am with you. But those verses don't mean that we should ignore the feelings of anger, sadness, and fear that we have. One of Wayne's cousins was held up at Bible study in her home about a year and a half ago by four armed men, and all their stuff was stolen. Their two little girls were asleep at the time, and it was a really horrible experience. And as we spoke to them afterwards, we asked the questions, how are you doing? And one of their relatives, when we asked how are they doing, just quoted scripture at us. And at the time, I felt really uncomfortable, not because the scriptures weren't true, not because what they're saying wasn't true, but because they weren't looking at the anger and the fear and the sadness that something like that would have brought for their relatives. Scripture's important, yes, and God uses it to transform us, but we mustn't ignore what's going on inside. We need to look at those things, we need to bring them out, and we need to be honest about it so we can deal with it. I think about the Psalms of David, and I always find the Psalms of David so incredibly comforting, because David doesn't ignore his anger, his fear, or his sadness. Instead, he brings it out, but he brings it out to God. I remember sitting with a friend of mine who'd lost her dad and was struggling through the grief. And I remember saying to her, it's okay to be honest with God about how you're feeling, how angry you are that this has taken place at this time, how you're sad about this, how you're fearful for the future. And another friend of mine who's in this last year has just gone through cancer, breast cancer. And I remember saying to her, it's okay to tell God that you're scared. It's okay to explain to him exactly how you're feeling. And I remember the look of relief on her face when she said to me, really? And I remember showing her some Psalms of David and said, look at these Psalms, look at these prayers. And she got real release and real relief from just being able to be honest with God and not pretending she was okay when she wasn't. When we ignore our anger, sadness, and fear, it is near impossible for us to grow in emotional health. and to be able to love others well. The third one is dying to the wrong things. Now, this might seem strange. The Bible tells us that we should die to ourselves. But what God's talking about here is us dying to selfishness, defensiveness, sinfulness in our lives. He's not asking us to die to friendships and loving relationships and the gifts that he's given us and the passions and desires. I remember as a young adult thinking that, you know, God would always send you to the place you didn't want to go. That if you wanted to go somewhere, if you desired to be involved in some ministry, that couldn't be from God, because God would want to send you to the furthest reaches, the place that was most difficult. And it took me a while to discover that that truly wasn't right. That God gifts us, and he gives us passions and desires, and he's given those to us to point us in the direction of how he wants to live. So if we're dying to the wrong things, we're in trouble. Next is denying the past impact on the present. And I think this is such a huge one. And in this course, you're going to hear about your family of origin a number of times. And Peter Zahara speaks often about how our family of origin, the people in our past, have influenced us so greatly. And we cannot ignore their influence over us. The reality is, how you were raised, what you saw growing up, how you were treated, has impacted who you are today. Your life experiences have brought you to the point where you're at the moment. And some of them have been amazing, and a lot of them haven't been. I know for myself, I struggle with conflict. And the reason I struggle with conflict is because as a child, I remember my parents arguing violently every single night as a kid. And so for me, conflict has a very ugly feeling. It triggers a lot of difficult memories. And so I've had to learn to deal with that. I struggle in coming into new places, because by the time where I'm at now today, I had 11 schools, 6 or 7 primary schools. About 7 of them were before I even left England at the age of 12. And conservatively, I've lived in over 40 houses in my lifetime. And so going into new places is hard. Trusting people is hard, because at the back of my head, I'm always going, when am I about to move? I have to be aware of how my past affects my present, how my past impacts on the way I react to things today. We can't deny the past. We need to look at the past. We need to acknowledge the past. We need to take the lessons from it and be able to move on for it. Bible says forgetting what is past, we move on. But here's the thing, we've got to look at the past in order to move beyond it. Next is dividing our life into sacred and circular compartments. The idea that God fits in on a Sunday, and maybe, you know, in a Bible reading or a prayer time, but the rest of my life is mine. We have this idea sometimes that God is involved in Christian activities, but the rest of activities he doesn't get involved in. Remember what we spoke about in contemplative spirituality? Seeing God in all my life. God is involved in every area of our lives. There is no sacred and circular. Everything should be sacred, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God does not fit in a box. Our marriage doesn't fit in a box. We don't fit in a box. We go across different areas of our lives, and in every area of our lives, God and his love should be flowing through it. And we should be looking to see where God's working in every single area of our lives. If God is just Sunday, if God is just about Christian activity, we're going to struggle, really struggle, near impossible to grow spiritually. This one's a big one. Doing for God instead of being with God. Mary versus Martha. You know, in the kitchen doing, busy, working. Jesus, tell my sister, please, to come and help me. And Jesus says, no. She has chosen the right path. Sitting with me, being with me, listening to me, instead of just being busy doing. Keep in mind, Martha's busy making Jesus supper. She's acting and serving him, but But Jesus said it's better to just be sitting and spending time with him. We live in a culture that is full of busyness, doing. We even in the church, we have this idea, the more we do, the better it is. You know, there's so many lost people. There is so much need. We should be doing it, getting in there, getting stuck in. And I know this is an area I battle with. I like to do. I like to feel productive. But there are times when I need to know that what's more important than doing is just being with God. Realizing my value to him is not in what I do, but in who I am. And this issue flows into all areas of our life, because not only do we treat God this way, we treat people this way. What can you do for me? Instead of who they are. We value people for what they can bring instead of for just who they are. And so doing for God instead of being for God is a real sign, and it's a one that we really struggle with in Western society. Spiritualizing away conflict. How many of us have done that? Well, you know already from what I've said, conflict's not something I enjoy. And what is it to spiritualize away conflict? Well, conflict's wrong, so I shouldn't get involved with it. Lying to somebody to get rid of a situation. Apologizing even when I know that I'm not wrong. Confronting somebody about an issue, but telling somebody else about the issue I have with them to vent it off and get rid of it so I don't actually have to deal with those emotions to that person. Jesus didn't avoid conflict. If you read the Gospels and you read about how his interactions with his disciples, his interactions with the Pharisees, Jesus dealt with conflict. Jesus in Matthew 18 gives us a description, a step-by-step on how we should deal with conflict in a godly manner. Conflict is not something that's to be avoided. It's something that should be handled in a godly manner. And when we're avoiding conflict, when we're lying to get out of conflict, when we're pushing things down, it's unhealthy. Conflict can be a point of growth depending on how we handle it. It can be something that God uses to change us, to make us more like him. Conflict's not something that should be avoided or ignored or spiritualized away. Covering over brokenness, weakness, and failures. You know, I think social media does this, doesn't it? Your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter feed, you scroll through and you look at other people's lives and you see all the highlights, the best parts of their day, that best moment that they had. But you don't see the brokenness, the weakness, and the failure. And so you look at their lives and you look at people around you and you don't want to admit your weakness, your failure, your brokenness. Because if you do, you feel like, oh, everybody's going to look at you differently and nobody else is going through what you're going through. Nobody else is dealing with what you're dealing with. When there is nobody that we're willing to admit our brokenness and weakness and failure to, we're in trouble. The reality is we all have weaknesses. We all have failed. There are in every one of us elements, areas of our life that are broken, that have been broken by sin, that have been broken by people around us. In order for us to grow, in order for us to become healthy, in order for us to love God and love people well, instead of covering them, we need to bring these areas of our life out and deal with them. Living without limits. Jesus had limits. We read about him healing. We read about him preaching. We read about him going throughout the area of Israel and doing amazing things. But here's the thing. He didn't heal everybody in Israel. He didn't help everybody in Israel. There were times when he stepped away, took out time to pray. There were times in the Bible where you read that he is tired. And why? Because he had limits as a human being. We often feel bad when we can't do more. We always want to be doing more, achieving more. We feel guilty if we can't help somebody, if we can't fix their problem. I don't know about you, but there's times when we have savior complexes. We feel like it's our job to save people. We forget we're human. We're not God. We have limits. The Sabbath day is a limit. It shows us we can't go 24/7 all the time, 365 days a week without rest, We have limits and we need to live within them. And when we don't, we are very unhealthy and we are not going to love God and we're not going to love people well. Because the reality is, the tireder we get, the more bitter we get, the more resentful we get, the less likely we are to love well. Judging the spiritual journey of others. A real sign. The Bible says don't judge. One of the desert fathers said this. He said that when we spend our time looking at ourselves and looking at our issues and where we're at, we will not have time to worry about where somebody else is at. You know what Jesus said? Look at the plank in your own eye before you try to remove the speck from your brother's. So often we look at other people and we judge them on a little bit of their lives. We judge them on something they're doing because we don't like it. And often the very thing they're doing points to weakness in us. When we're judging, when we're criticizing, when we're looking around at everybody else and ignoring ourselves, we're in trouble. If today you sat here thinking, yo, I wish so-and-so was listening to this. I wish so-and-so had heard that point because they're really guilty of that. That, you know, that person's emotionally unhealthy. They need to deal with their iceberg. If those are the kinds of comments that have been going through your head, but no thought about yourself, no thought about the issues under the waterline in your life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We need to deal with ourselves. We can't change other people. We can pray for other people, but we can't change other people. We need to bring ourselves to God and ask Him to sort us out. We can do that. And as we do that, as we come to Him, as we allow God to change Him, I truly believe that people around us will also change. I don't know if you've ever met people who, there are not many of them, but they're spiritually mature, emotionally healthy people. They're the kinds of people you want to spend time with. You want to listen to them. You want to be with them. When you're with them, you feel like you're listened to. You feel like you're accepted. You feel like you're seen by them. You're looking at them going, what do you know about God that I don't? And when you're with them, you want to change. You want to be different. And that's what I want. I want to be that kind of person, the kind of person that inspires other people to draw closer to God. But for that to happen, I know that I need to be spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy. I want to love God well. I want to love Him with everything that's in me. I want to learn to love people well. But I'm beginning to really understand that to do that, I first have to deal with me. So over the next few weeks, I want to invite you to begin this journey with us. To slow down and be with God. Just be with Him. Times of solitude. Times of silence. Not filled up with stuff and babbling and talking about, but just being quiet with God. Allowing Jesus to access your iceberg. Allowing Him to put His hand upon the areas of your life that need to be healed, that need to be touched, that need to be changed. Is this going to be hard? Yes. But remember what we're living for. Life and life to the full. We were created for a relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. I don't know about you, but I want that relationship to be good and to be great. So please, come along with us for this journey. Get involved. As I said, please read the book, watch the small group material. Commit to doing this and to doing it well. And I'm praying that God would make me change, that He'd help me, that He'd grow me. I want Him to deal with my iceberg because I want life and life to the full. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much that you are such an awesome God. Thank you that you've given us an example of a spiritually mature, emotionally healthy being as you walked on this earth. Would you journey with us over the next few weeks? And will you help us to allow you access to our lives? Allow you to change us, transform us, purify us, Lord God. We bring ourselves to you and ask, Father God, would you move in our lives? Amen. See you soon. Have a good week.